Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for the call of ministry upon each one of our lives, according to the covenant that is being written into our inward parts, a covenant that is the workmanship of the living God, a covenant that is being written by the finger of God, a covenant that is being fashioned and formed in the spirit and life of Jesus, a covenant that is being established in the faith of Jesus, a covenant that is being brought to fulfillment in the love of Jesus, a covenant that is being expressed in his nature and his character, a covenant that is going to be an expression, O God, of his heart and his mind, a covenant, O God, that is going to be a witness, O God, of life within us, Lord. Father God, we pray that by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we will come alive to this covenant so as to minister in this covenant, so that we will be servants of the new covenant, a blessing, O God, upon the face of the earth, a blessing, O God, that stands before you, Lord, that even as we learn to minister to you, Lord, we will be enabled, O God, in turn, to minister, O God, to the nations, Lord, that we are a royal priesthood, Father. And that priesthood is established as we minister to you in the reality of this covenant being fashioned in our heart. The purpose of this covenant, O God, is to realize a reality in which we come to taste and see that the Lord our God is good. And in that reality, come to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that we can then love others as ourselves, Lord, as we realize how much you have given to us, how much you are manifesting in us, how much, O God, the Holy Spirit labors with us to bring forth that which is good that you have given us and packaged to us in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask you to bless us. We ask you, O God, to enable us to understand, Lord, that we are the training for the ministry is in the carpenter's workshop that you have opened to us, Lord. Enable us to understand, enable us to open our hearts, enable us to learn from the lives that we live each and every day, Lord, what it is you have purposed for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about being trained for the ministry, and I want to talk about the carpenter's workshop. So turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. Chapter 2. We're going to talk about Jesus and how he grew before God told him at his baptism, "Thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased." You see that in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Now it came about, verse 21, "Now it came about when all the people were baptized that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, Thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased." At this point, Jesus had done nothing supernatural. He had not begun his ministry, and yet the Father says, "I am well pleased with you." He was something like 30 years old. Yep. He was with his parents. He was working in a carpenter's workshop. It represents his growing years. So let's look at chapter 2. Of Luke, verse 40. "And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Praise the Lord. So because the grace of God was upon him, he continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom. So it is by grace that Jesus Christ grew. Now, why is that so? Because he is the blueprint for how you and I are going to grow. It is all grace upon grace. You know my favorite verse in the Bible, John chapter 1, verse 16. "Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Realized through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ grew up as a man. So as a child, he learned how to draw upon the grace of God. It was God's will to have the Spirit of grace dwell upon him and to indwell him. But it was Jesus' choice It was his understanding to draw upon that grace. He became strong, increasing in wisdom. God was expressing a growth process through the life of Jesus Christ. All right, now let's look at what happened to him in verse 46. Verse 41 says, and his parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And now let's see what is the result of the Passover that the Lord his God manifested to inside of Jesus Christ. Verse 46, and it came about that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He listened to them, asked them questions, and when they were unable to answer his questions, he came up with the answers. He was 12 years old. They were amazed at his understanding. Where did this understanding come from? It came from God. It came as the spirit of understanding. And when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? So at 12, Jesus knew he had to be in his father's house. In ministry, we are building the father's house. The building is being manifested in human lives. And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. The key to Jesus' growth was his ability to draw from God, and yet he was subject to those who were in authority over him. All of us have authority over us. Ultimately, all of us have the authority of God over us. We live in a nation, and the leaders of this nation have authority over us, and it's biblical. We live in homes, and our parents had authority over us for a period of time. As wives relating to husbands, you are called to submit to your husband. Not because he is fit to be submitted to or because he is worthy of submission, but because that's how God is going to train us. As a husband, we are called to love our wives and to give them what we would want for ourselves or develop the good things in their lives. To love them as Christ loves the church, an impossible standard. But in that simple reality of the family, God builds us for the ministry. Because in the family, we learn to minister. In the family, we learn to minister. He continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Ultimately, our maturity in Christ is measured by these two things: having favor with God and having favor with men. Favor with God and favor with men. God trains us through the lives that we live. All of us have gone through traumatic experiences in our life. You are supposed to have learned something through that. People may have mistreated us. People may have abused us. People would have undermined us. People may have disregarded us. People may have disliked us. People may have actually hated us. People may have resented us. People may have denied us opportunities. People may have done all kinds of things that were not right. We are supposed to have learned something from that. As we come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be able to understand that those kind of things cannot be. And one of the ways in which we move towards rectifying those kind of things is to move into the ministry God has given us. But before you can move into the ministry that God has given you, you have to deal with those things that have affected you. The accuser has manifested things against you and me that have had effects on us on a conscious plane, on a subconscious plane, and on an unconscious plane. We too have sinned against God in many things. We have done things that are not right. It's one of the fundamental things we have to understand as we prepare to be vessels of the living God, is to make sure that this vessel becomes the workmanship of God. Because we are vessels that have been manifested in sin, we have to understand that God has to work in us to deal with the sin. Sin will always be a curse. It will never become a blessing. Sin will always bring death and destruction. The wages of sin is death. It's not going to bring anything else. A little leaven leavens the whole door. In the kingdom of God, a little leaven leavens the whole door too, but that leaven is the leaven of the seed of Christ. If we choose to live in the kingdom of God and realize the power of God, then all change is possible to us by the grace of God. All change is possible to us through what God is willing to work in us through Jesus Christ. Because what God is working into us to prepare us to walk into the ministry that God has for us is entirely defined in Christ Jesus. And as God reveals Jesus Christ to us, at every point in our walk with God, there is a receiving and a realizing of something that is of Jesus Christ into our being. Jesus is always good. Jesus is always the right choice. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the bread of life. If you eat bread, you will grow, you will be strengthened. The substance of the bread of life will bring into you a new creation. The Bible says that you are created in Christ Jesus for the good works that the Father has ordained, that this is all the workmanship of God. Are you listening to what God's word is saying? So as you look at yourself, as you look at your responses to your spouse, to your children, to your brothers, your sisters, to your mothers, your fathers, as you look at your responses in the work situations with strangers or with bosses, as you look at your responses to your friends, God wants you to address those things that will surface in those relationships. You will see things that are not right. You will see responses that are not right, and God wants you to address those responses in the witness and testimony of Jesus. He wants you to understand that God is able to bring change into your life. God is able to create you. God is able to transform you. God is able to transfigure you. The Greek word for transform is metamorpho. Metamorpho means a total change in form. You know the English word metamorphosis, the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. There's absolutely no similarity between a caterpillar and a butterfly. That's what God is talking about. If you don't realize the power of God to change you, you can't possibly go and tell somebody that God changes their lives. Because right from the book of Genesis, God talks testamentally. It's Is there such a word? Testimonially, rather, right? God talks testimonially to us. We see the lives of imperfect people right across the scriptures. But we also see God working something inside of them. So something like 2,000 years after Abraham, God manifests the Son of Man. And God begins a new work. And the model for man is the Son of Man. No longer is man just going to see God work partially in his life. Now man is going to see God work in a totality that is entirely described in Jesus Christ and brought to us entirely by God himself, the Holy Spirit. So as we walk into the things that God has ordained in our lives, you're going to see issues that you have to address. Issues that you can't address in your own strength. Issues that you may even be traumatized to look at. Issues of your past, responses that come from things that have happened to you in the past. And you must be willing to look at God and say, Lord, you need to do something about this for me because I'm totally helpless towards these things. That is crucial. As you receive the ministry of God in your life and see the changes that God brings into you, now you have faith of how God ministers. Now you know that through you, God can minister and touch other people's lives. Because he has changed you, you know by witness and by testimony how God is able to change. As you see the impossibilities of what God has achieved in your life, you begin to realize that the God who is our God is a God of the impossible. He always does what is impossible to man. Right from the time you were born again, God does things that no man can do. That's key. That's your training for ministry. The reality of the God who is able to bring what is absolutely impossible to you. It's so crucial to understand this. Jesus experienced God and he lived God. That's the key. Jesus had favor with man because God gave him that favor with man. Jesus was able to submit to his parents even though he was so much more gifted than them. He knew so much more of the truth than them. He knew so many things that they couldn't even understand. They didn't even know what he said when he said, I'm about my father's business. And these were parents who had experienced the virgin birth. They had seen angels talk to them. They had seen God supernaturally protect them. They knew that the son that they had was no ordinary man, was no ordinary child, and yet they could not understand what he was saying. But Jesus chose to submit to them. So often we don't want to submit. We very foolishly think that we can submit to a perfect God. If we can't submit to imperfect man, how are you going to submit to a perfect God who is absolutely sinless? You know, if God was to manifest himself in his holiness towards us, almost everything that we say and do would be wrong in some degree or another. So why did Jesus, the Son of Man, the Messiah, submit to imperfect parents? Because that is what God ordained in his law. You shall honor your father and your mother. Not because they are worthy of the honor, but because they are your parents. And it's the commandment that comes with the promise that if you do so, I will bless you. There's so many things that are happening in our lives where God is there, because nothing happens in our lives by chance. Even if you go through tribulation, it does not happen to you by chance. Just like Jesus being taken into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan was not an event of chance. It was a deliberate event that was arranged for him by the Holy Spirit. going to the cross was a deliberate event that was of the Father's will. Responding to the Pharisees were things that were part and parcel of God's plan. Because through Jesus Christ, God was convicting man of sin. So how do you live your life? How do you live your life each day? How do you take what you read in the Bible and translate it to how you live every day? How do you pray each day? Do you pray like that Pharisee who said, "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this guy who is next to me. I'm so holy and he is such a big sinner." Ultimately, he comes to even tell God, "Aren't you lucky to have me?" Words to that effect. We have to address things that are fundamentally not right in us. You know what is not right in you. I know what's right, not right with me. We have to go into ministry with the right motives. If you don't love somebody unconditionally the way God loves somebody, what is your motivation for ministry? Fame, experience of anointings and giftings, recognition, to be respected, to find a position in Christian society. Jesus Christ came to serve. He's addressed prophetically as the servant in the Old Testament. A minister is a servant of God. So as we talk about ministry, do you really want to serve, or are you just there because you've got nothing else to do? Are you in ministry because you want the rewards for it? What is your motivation for the ministry? Your motivation for the ministry must be because you have received of the love of God, and you know that that love needs to be expressed into other people's lives. That others need to see the God who has loved you unconditionally. Jesus realized a relationship, a complex relationship with God, and a complex relationship with human beings around him. Everything flows out of relationship. The body of Christ, in the body of Christ, we are members one of another. We do not do a job. We do not answer a job description. When God gives you a calling, he's giving you a position based on purpose, a position based on his great love for you, a position that is going to be built out of relationship with him, a position that is going to flow out of that relationship with him. It's not like the world system. And everything you say and do in ministry flows out of that relationship. Jesus found favor with God because he had a relationship with God. Jesus found favor with men because he had a genuine relationship with them. So whether you minister to little children, or whether you minister to adults, all comes out of that relationship. That relationship feeds from what God gives. Your strength comes from your relationship with God. So Jesus says in the book of Matthew, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. As you have realized how God has blessed you, you in turn are meant to bless others, not pick their faults. Look at how Jesus ministered. What do you think made Mary Magdalene to wash his feet with her hair in public and with her tears? How powerfully he moved her. What was she in the eyes of society? Worse than garbage. Yet Jesus Christ did not treat her like that. The Pharisees just couldn't comprehend how on earth he could allow such a woman to touch him. How he could allow himself to be seen with such a woman. How often we so easily pick other people's faults. Jesus Christ on the cross decided that his relationship with man would be based on the fact that he would unconditionally forgive if people responded to that forgiveness. You see, it is relationship. Unconditional love, yes, based on relationship. So brethren, as you and I sit here, we've been with the Lord for some time, most of us. You need to find your heart before God. You need to know that from your insides. You need to know the God who has chosen you and anointed you and appointed you for the purpose that he has for you. If you don't know that, you're not ready for ministry. It takes time. But time we have. Because if you're going to do something in the kingdom of God, let's do it right. Time is not important. It's the final product that is of concern. The church is not a numbers game. The church is about the dwelling place of the living God. So if you look at the whole flow of scriptures, it results in the dwelling place of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is amongst men. Revelation chapter 21. And Revelation chapter 22 talks about the healing of the nations. You understand where we are coming from? You know why this ministry is called the Tabernacle School of Ministry? Because it is in being a dwelling place for God that you can minister to other people. If God's not there, it isn't worth anything. You're just kidding yourself. You're just cheating yourself. Worse still, you're cheating other people. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What great things had Jesus done? He had just learned how to live properly. He had just learned how to live before God and live with men. And he came for his baptism. And as John baptized him, as the Holy Spirit descended upon him, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because all the foundations were the right foundations. It is here that Jesus Christ learned that I can do nothing of myself except that which I see my Father doing. See, we are very precious before God. We are not a quick job. We are vessels being created very specially. Do you appreciate that? If you don't appreciate that about yourself, then you don't appreciate it for another person. Because if you don't appreciate it over another person, you have no basis to minister to that person. Ministry is not because you went to Bible school and you learned a few things. That's not what ministry is all about. Ministry flows out of the heart of God. If you are in that flow that is from the heart of God, you have it right. If you are not in that flow, you're not in that flow. And you can try whatever you want, it's not going to work. You know, we live in real situations in life. You know, we insist on getting our own way. You cannot insist on getting your own way. Only a spoiled child behaves like that. You have raised up children. You know how they behave. You know how they can manipulate you. If you just allow them to do what they want to do, what is going to be the result? Through it all, God is teaching us something. He's teaching us the righteousness of the kingdom of God. If you allow children to watch whatever they want to watch and do whatever they want to do, and you think it is love, take it before God and see if God will treat you like that. He won't. He will correct you. He will really correct you. And in learning how to correct those little children, what is God teaching you? He's fundamentally teaching you how to minister to your own children. So you have a difficult husband. How you minister to that difficult husband is what is going to be the quality mark of your ministry. Don't try and sidetrack the whole thing and say, oh, it's my husband. You know, he's not in the Lord, therefore let me go and do whatever I want to do. These are hard things to face. But really, that's where God fashions us. That's where God fashions the heart through which He will move. That's the heart through which the anointing will move to break the yoke. But first the yoke must be broken on your life. Nothing in the kingdom of God works by magic. The magician's work is the work of the witchcraft, of witchcraft and sorcery. Everything that we do in the Christian faith is a manifestation of reality. Reality from God. And we have to deal with it. It's not comfortable. And in learning how to deal with sin, then we will learn and understand that there is no place for sin in our future. We have to kill it. There is nothing else. There is no other answer for sin. It has to be killed. It has to be uprooted by the very roots. It has to be nailed to the cross. It has to be destroyed. Only when you deal with it in your life will you understand that. When you go through the trauma of having to deal with those things that have hit you so hard in your past. You want to be responsible for nations? Learn to be responsible for your own family. Learn to be responsible to do what is right for your family. There is a place to say no, and it has to be no. If you don't learn how to say no to your own children, then you're going to be always manipulated. We have to learn how to do what is right. It's not easy to do what is right. You struggle with it, I struggle with it. So that's why God is there. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Don't just simply repeat it like a parrot. Put it to work in your life. It's not easy. But God can do what is impossible for us. Are you willing to respond to that in your life? Are you willing to address that and take it before God and say, "Oh God, bring forth what seems to be impossible for me to even think about. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes." God's undertaken all that. I will give you a new heart. I will put my laws within your heart. I will be your God and you will be my people. It's all written there, guys, what God is willing to do. So many of us don't want to address that. We have responsibilities in the home. It is God who put us in the family. As members of a family, there are certain things we have to do. You can't simply say, "I'm not going to do this because, you know, I'm so busy in ministry." You can't do that. There are things that have to be done. Whatever those things are, what is necessary has to be done. Then we must have the discipline to make time. When you don't feel like doing it, you ask God to inspire you. You ask God to enable you. That's how you're going to find out how God works in your life. It's not going to magically manifest, guys. It has to manifest in real things you do. If you don't learn how to do something by God, how on earth are you going to know that He can do it? I'm going to walk by the Holy Spirit. That's very nice. But walking by the Holy Spirit is living by the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of grace. He is the Spirit of truth. The truth sets you free. Do we need to know that we can be set free? Absolutely. Then when you pray for someone, you can speak the words that are real to you. That's how the anointing manifests, in reality. Reality that is of the truth. The anointing breaks the yoke, but the conduit for the anointing to flow is truth. Truth that you know. Truth that you know is real. It's not bluff. Come on, guys, there are so many things God has done in your life that are real. Those are the things that you know. The rest of it doesn't matter. You can't watch another man of God and say, "Oh, I read about his life and that's wonderful." No, you have to walk into it, brother. Yeah? Yes, when we minister the anointing, we minister the gifting that God has given us. But we minister in the character. The character is built out of what you do every day. What time do you get up? How do you spend your time? What do you watch? What is it that entertains you? What do you read? How do you speak? How do you relate with people? That's where your character is molded and shaped. What's the point of becoming an anointed skunk? Who is going to be blessed by it? Do you think you're going to be blessed by it if God just anoints you and you don't change and you don't have a character, you don't have the right kind of nature, right? You have all kinds of deception, you have all kinds of hidden agendas. How on earth can you be blessed? When God says you alone will be above and not beneath, He's telling you something very important. That's a very high position. You must have the character to stand there. So God talks about Lucifer and He says, "How you have fallen. What an amazing thing you have done. How you have fallen. How on earth did you do that? After all I gave you, after all I manifested to you, after all that I brought you into, how on earth did you fall?" Your heart was filled with violence. Brother, all those things exist inside of us. When you resent someone in your family, can you see the violence manifest? It's there. It may come in its benign forms through resentment and things like that, but the roots of anger come out of resentment. It may be bitterness, but the root of anger is in bitterness. Sometimes it is just shutting somebody out of your heart and your mind and thinking that you've handled the problem. You've not. You've just put it on a subconscious level. You're transferring the anger into your subconscious. One day it will erupt. And we know how we behave when we erupt, isn't it? The things we say, you're amazed at some of the words, should have a tape recorder on. You can feel darkness actually flow out of you, isn't it? You want to see how the anointing flows? Get angry and see how the anointing flows, the opposite kind of anointing. Because that anger came out of God's giftings to that angel. Hello. And God says, you are filled with violence. Where do you think we got that anointing? Who do you think originated anger? Who do you think originated lust? Lust for power, lust for position. Yeah? So we all see that. We see the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What do you choose? The ability to choose is so fundamental to being blessed. Isn't it? If you see the fall of Lucifer, he chose things that were absurd. On hindsight, we see that. How on earth was someone so anointed, so brilliant, so wise, so beautiful, so magnificent, so gifted? How on earth did he come to such a position? What is God trying to tell us? He stood at the foremost position to minister to God. He was called Star of the Morning, Son of the Dawn. God is talking about high ministry positions given to him. He was called to minister to the angels, and he misled them, and he took one third of them, destroyed their whole destiny. You're listening about ministry? Yeah. So what kind of a minister are you going to be? You need to understand that what Lucifer did, we all experience in our lives. We have to deal with it. And you can only deal with it through Jesus Christ. You can't deal with it in your flesh. You can't deal with it with your emotions. You can't pretend it will magically disappear, brother. It won't. Faith is not presumption. Faith is evidence. Evidence of actual change. If God is working in your life, you are being actually changed. No bluff. Nothing in Christianity is built on a bluff. Nothing in Christianity is built on marketing hype. You need to understand that nothing in your ministry can be built on hype. Why do we see so much of hype in Christian ministry? Is that necessary? It is the Holy Spirit who convicts. Why do you need the marketing hype? You need it because you can't flow by the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason. We try to manage things. Why? Because we can't flow by the Holy Spirit. As simple as that. Why do we need to manage things? Very simple, because we don't know how to flow by the Holy Spirit. God, who manages the whole universe, can't he manage your ministry? You understand? These are very fundamental things we have to get right. You have to get it right now. When it seems that nothing is happening, You're praying and you're praying and nothing seems to be happening. It's not that there's nothing that is happening. God wants to address issues in our heart and our mind, because if the inside is not right, the outside cannot be right. You understand that? I'm not trying to tell you the law. I'm trying to tell you the fulfillment of the law. God can change you. David knew that. Create in me a clean heart. I should not have gone into that home and done that. I should not have said that. I should not have gone into that home and run around that home and tried to manage that whole family's life based on what I thought. That was wrong. We have a home meeting and, you know, we try and make everyone follow us. When did you and I become the basis of everybody else's spiritual growth? Basic things. You present Jesus, you expound His love, you unveil His witness and His testimony by the Holy Spirit, and you let God do the work. You don't try and make people in your own image according to your thoughts and your understanding of the gospel. That's wrong. Why is it we can't minister interdenominationally? Because we have our pet theories on what is right. So why aren't you walking on water if you know all truth? Huh? Why aren't you raising the dead if you know all truth? Obviously, there are lots of things not right with us that we don't recognize. We just pretend it's all fine and dandy from our doctrinal position. And we look at somebody who has got a lesser quality of doctrines and we run them down. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not your denomination, not your doctrines, not your theories. We are here to present Jesus Christ. We are here to communicate Him from the altars of our heart. He is the anointed one, and with Him comes the anointing that will break every yoke under the sun. He is the healer, and with Him comes every ability to heal. Every reality of healing comes from Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will manifest the way, the truth, and the life in the jungle of somebody's heart and mind, which you and I don't even know how to comprehend or even begin to start with. So when you prepare to go for ministry, what do you prepare? Do you bow down and ask the Lord to come through? To use you so that you can bless those little children, so that you can plant seed that will grow up in all eternity and become a true tree of life within those kids. That you can put right thoughts into those young people and by the Holy Spirit, see their imaginations being captivated with the wonder of Jesus Christ. So crucial that we think like that. Let God be God. If nothing happens, nothing happens. It's all right. Or people may not come. If they don't want to come, that's okay too. People may not like your teaching. It's all right. They can go somewhere else where they can find the right teaching. You're not the way, the truth, and the life, no matter how anointed you are. Some people will like you. Some people will not like you. Some people will despise you. That's fine. And there are reasons why God deals with you through people who despise you. How do you respond to people who despise you? It's part of your training for ministry. How did Jesus respond to those who despised Him? And there was no reason to despise Him. There are many reasons to despise you and me, yes. So brethren, to really understand the greatness of God's plan for your life, You must allow him to change you. You must allow him to make you. You must allow him to fashion you. You have to spend that time with him. You must allow him to fashion you. Everything inside of you has to come out from him. There is going to be nothing that is of your carnal nature. All the flesh will die. Don't you want that? I want that. I know it will be painful, but in principle, I know it is absolutely necessary. Yeah? Now, this is why I say sometimes that, you know, you are called, you spend time with the Lord, you find the Lord. What does he want you to do? Until he tells you, you don't know. If you have been listening to somebody telling you what you should be doing, then that's the wrong plan, brother. It should be inside of you. This is what the Lord wants me to do. This is what he wants me to do with his life. Take your time. Oh, brother, you know, we've got this program and that program. I'm not interested in the programs. We are building vessels that God can use. That takes time. I am still a work in progress. I hope I'm a work in progress a million years from today too. Because the day I stop being work in progress, I'm finished. Then I would be complete in and of myself. And that will be the beginning of the end. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we think we know it all. No, we don't know anything. God knows it all, and it will always be so. When you and I know something, it will be because God has made that evident to us, and because he has brought the witness and that confidence of that reality into us by his Holy Spirit in the reality of his holy word, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you will know true knowledge. I may be speaking of deep things, I may be speaking of very mind-boggling realities, but it's the truth. That which is not of God will pass away. You know it. So wait on the Lord. Let him fashion you and form you. If you find it hard to spend time with the Lord, then your answer is with God. Not with trying harder. The answer is with God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me, you and I can do all things. It is the word of God. It is written. It will always be true. You have to discover it for yourself, not just repeat it and think that because you can memorize that and repeat that, it's going to manifest. No, it has to come out of your life. Are you prepared to live that? Are you prepared to see that discovery manifest in your life? How do you pray? In whose power do you pray? How do you love your husband? In whose power do you love your husband? How do you love your wife? In whose power do you love your wife? How do you love your children? In whose power do you love your children? In the power of whose love? When you see your children and you want them to be this and you want them to be that, did that come from God or is that something of your carnal nature? God's plan for all of us is humongous. Read the scriptures, it's humongous. But you need to understand that the training for that is also humongous. We dress it up and say, oh, in our carnal thoughts, oh my goodness, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to do this. No, brother, it's not about suffering for the sake of suffering. It's about being worked out. God is not trying to make you suffer. He's just trying to work out the wrong things. He's just trying to work out the kinks. Sometimes that involves pain, but it also involves amazing joy. It also involves amazing sense of fulfillment. It involves an ecstasy of the joy of the Lord, the ecstasy of his love, the ecstasy of his presence. Yes, sometimes we go through the mill, yes. But it's for a time and for a season, and then it's over. How much of time do you spend with the Lord? How much do you expect God to do with you? Because if He's not going to do the work, you ain't going to do His work. You will do your work, and your work is going to kill people. Your work is going to mislead people. Your work is going to undermine people. Do you understand? You know, sometimes when I say you are a pastor, and you look at yourself and you say, oh my goodness, I can't even pray for 10 minutes and this dope is saying that I'm a pastor. God says we are sons of God. Do we look like sons? Do we live like sons? Do we behave like sons? Do we talk like sons? But are we sons of God? Absolutely. Based on what? Based on what God believes. Based on what God says. Based on what He has planned. Based on His power. Based on His love. Based on His righteousness. Based on His sanctifying power. Based on the fact that He is the maker. He can create anything. But we are free will creatures. Everything that He does with us has to involve our free will. So at the heart of it is relationship. The purpose of free will is because God values the relationship. See, without the relationship, there is no meaning to the blessing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The reason why you can taste and see that the Lord is good is because of relationship. And that relationship came out of the exercise of your own free will. It cannot be just make-believe. It cannot be by law. I'm doing this because the Bible says so. It must be because I love the Lord. And then the Lord will take you through difficult people who will take your best and then throw it back at you. How will you react? So you say you love the Lord. Let's see how much you love the Lord now. Oh, this is the devil. No, it's not the devil, brother. This is God trying to teach you something. What is your love? Do you wear it on a sleeve or do you wear it in a romance novel or is it real? Is it really what you are? Do you really love me? That's hard, isn't it? But it's necessary. Can you build a marriage just sitting and having a nice dinner and the nice romantic mood and you dance and you want to build a life out of that? It won't work, brother. And you say to your wife, oh, I love you. That's not love. Love is when the kids are screaming and the bills haven't been paid and you can still look at this man and this woman and say, this is my husband. I'm not alone in this. Huh? That's love. So God does the same thing, isn't it? He takes you through troubled waters and he says, now can you find my love or not? When you run dry, will you look at me? Because the waters of life flow out of me. I am the fountainhead of the waters of life. From my heart flows the fountain of life. Do you understand? So often we miss it. Moving into ministry. Praise the Lord. Take a good look at what's your situation, your circumstance. Look at the children you have. Look at the husband you have, the wife you have, the brothers and sisters you have. How do you relate with them? Oh, they are non-Christians, so I don't talk to them anymore because I've become so holy. Fiddlesticks. You don't have love in your heart. That's what it means. You don't love Jesus enough to love your own brothers and your sisters. fundamental things, basic things that we have to deal with and grow through. When you find someone obnoxious, that's your opportunity to find the love of God, because you need it. Because otherwise you can really go to pieces. So every point in your life, as you grow as a Christian, you'll find that there's always a difficult person who comes at the right time, isn't it? Sometimes we turn around, this is the devil trying to tempt me. No, this is not the devil trying to tempt you. This is God saying, this is your test. Let's find out how much you love me. Let's find out how much of faith you have. Not that he doesn't know, he wants you to know. He wants me to know. Right? In our message for our first year, I said, we are well on our way to becoming a fivefold ministry. That's based on what the Holy Spirit is saying. That's not based on what I can see with my eyes. Praise the Lord. We have to see what God sees. For that purpose, God gave us His Word. Read it. Read it. Learn how to work with people. It's not easy to learn work with people. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. We all come with our own peculiarities. But therein lies the challenge. The favor comes from God. The union is by the Spirit. The partnerships are by the Spirit. What are you going to react to? To your carnality? Or he's not doing it my way, therefore it cannot be done. If it's going to be done, it's going to be done my way, because I know this is the way it can be done. No, brother. Many things can be done in many different ways. When you find out how God works in your life, you will understand. God has done ways, things in your life you didn't even know how it happened. And the Lord says, I am the way. We can only think from point A to point B. God can reach point A and point B in a million different ways, because nothing can stop Him. So you see somebody who is sinning and you think, oh my goodness, that guy will never be saved. And lo and behold, next week somebody said, this guy just came crying into church and he got saved. God just did something that you never even thought was possible, that's all. So when we come together as members in the body of Christ and we expect all things to flow according to our agreements with each other, that's not what it's based on. It's based on relationship. It is based on what the Lord is going to build out of you and me learning how to work together. So listen, because God can tell you a whole bunch of things through someone who seemingly doesn't seem to be very anointed or even seems to understand anything. And one day he says something and you suddenly realize, my goodness, from your witness inside, you realize that's the Lord telling me something. I've learned so many things from my children. Sometimes they tell me things. Not very kindly at times. But through it all, I can hear the voice of the Lord telling me something that is fundamentally not right with me. And that's the point. You've got to pick that up, take it to the Lord, and say, that's what it's all about. Now, you can camouflage it by turning back and getting angry with that child, and you miss the whole lesson. So often, we get angry with somebody, and we miss the whole lesson God is trying to bring forth. No two of us is alike. Now, how on earth are we going to put together ministries? Our instinct is to manage it. That's not what God is interested in. God is interested in what He is bringing together. He is interested in us realizing His love and being able to build partnerships with each other. Realizing what you can do, realizing what the other person can do, realizing how to respect the other person. for what God's doing in that person's life, and not thinking that I'm the only thing in life that God is working with. So many people think like that. So many men of God think they are the only thing under heaven that God's working with. God's working with every man, woman, and child in the Christian church. Some people are difficult, but the reason why they are difficult people is to deal with your difficult pride. And you're difficult, I know it all. We all have a little bit of that. Some of us have got a bigger dose than others, but we all have it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I saw someone just cleaning the chairs recently on their own volition. I looked at that person and I said, Lord, thank you. That's what the church is all about. Nobody saw that person do it. That person just did it by their own self. That's what it's all about. That person may be seemingly not very accomplished. That's not the point. But if a person has that kind of an attitude, God will do great things with that person's life. Sure. It has to come. That's the point. Don't think that the first will be first. Jesus said that the first can be last too. Yeah? So as you listen to what God's doing with people's lives. Because God's doing something wonderful. The whole purpose of ministry is to see what God is doing. We cannot build the church of Jesus Christ with our own intelligent programs. God doesn't need our intelligent programs. He needs our willing heart. He needs our humility. He needs our willingness to submit one to another. When God speaks to somebody, you can call yourself senior pastor, super senior pastor, whatever else you want to call yourself. But please, for heaven's sake, bow down and listen to the voice of God. He may be speaking to you through a six-year-old child. For heaven's sake, listen. So Jesus grew up in the carpenter's workshop. You and I must grow up in the carpenter's workshop. One day we will come back to earth again, you know. It's written. Why do you think he sends us back to earth? So that we can get the carpenter's workshop finally worked out. Huh? When we come back, we'll be coming back to an earth that would be decimated, right? Lots of work to do. Lots of love to find. Lots of wisdom to discover. Lots of power to draw upon. Lots of anointings to receive. Lots of giftings to unveil. What did you think? That Jesus came and alagaza, alagazum, everything will be green and fine. Training time. Growing up time. Time to find love. Time to minister to nations that are traumatized. Nations in confusion. People who do not know whether they are coming or going. Hello. Lots of ministry. Lots of ministry. So you better prepare for it now. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. Praise the Lord, shall we pray? Father, we bless you, Lord. For the carpenter's workshop that you have ordained for our lives. So many things to discover you in, Lord. So many things to learn from your heart. So many things to discover from the heart of Jesus. So many things for the Holy Spirit to lead us into and bring us out of, Lord. Nothing is wasted because you're building for eternity. You're not building for 70 years. You're not building for here and gone tomorrow, Lord. You're building each one of us so that we will stand from eternity to eternity, a blessing over nations. As we bow before you, as we learn to discover your heart, as we learn to discover your love, as we learn to function by the Holy Spirit, as we learn to understand the testimony of Jesus, as we learn to realize the Word of God in its fulfilled realities through the Spirit and life of Jesus, through the faith and love of Jesus, through the character and nature of Jesus. Oh Lord, there is so much for us to discover. That favor with you that Jesus knew and the Holy Spirit now wants to unveil to us. That favor with man, with each other, in our marriages, with our children, when they become difficult teenagers, oh God. Lord, that so much for us to draw from you, Lord. So many opportunities to discover what your heart is able to provide. Give us the courage of the lion and the lamb, that we will not pretend and try and run away. That we will take the bull by the horns and know, Lord, that the victory is ours because you have overcome the sin of man. You have overcome every failure of the human race, Lord. You are the Lord. You are the victor. You are our Lord. You are our beloved. And in you, we can do all things. In you, will we learn how to live, move, and have our being. And what an awesome reality that will be. So bless us, Holy Father, that we will be what you want us to be. Let your desires manifest in our hearts. And let us, O God, understand that what you desire is infinitely better than anything that we can conjure up in ourselves. So deliver us from ourselves, O Lord. And deliver us, O God, from our bright ideas. And enable us, O God, to see what Jesus saw, that he could do nothing except what he saw you manifesting to him. One day we will all walk in that reality. So Holy Spirit, as we commit ourselves to you, Lord, as we commit, O God, each one of ourselves to you as a living tabernacle of your glory and your presence, Lord, we pray that you will build us and fashion us and form us and create us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, that you will anoint us with his Spirit and you will enable us to do and teach us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, so that we will walk before the Father and be holy and blameless at all times. We thank you that this is what you have given us and this is what we can receive and realize. We thank you for all that you intend to bring forth in our lives. We bow before you and we thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.